I'm not here to speak about, to preach a sermon at all. I'm just here related to experience of God's mercy. My mind is scattered in many different directions. But I wanted to relate to you the value of truth and the value of having hope as an anchor to your soul and the value of the blessing of being able to hear and understand that truth. As you all know, my dad just passed away, and the scripture says that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And I trusted that scripture because as he was laying in the bed, motionless, unable to move, but very little, I believed with all my heart that there was a man inside that was growing stronger as he grew closer to his Lord.
Amen.
And I spoke to him with the scriptures. I reminded him of the blessings of Jacob and what a blessing it was for him to go be gathered with his brethren. And he winked at me, just a little corner of the wink of the eye. And that was a great blessing to me. And his life didn't begin that way in faith. He told me once when he was in the throes of cancer. He said Elder Blay was the first minister he'd ever met that he trusted, that he believed was genuine. We have a wonderful pastor. We should be very thankful for him. And for my father to say that is a miracle in itself. Because I have a memory that begins with this story. I was a very little boy watching black and white TV, probably around 1967 or 68. I don't remember the exact year. But there was a forum of ministers. There was like nine ministers. And my dad was drinking a beer. And he was a scoffer and a skeptic. And all these ministers are up there in their piety and their self-righteousness trying to explain scriptures. And my dad picked up the phone and called this forum and said, "Can you answer me one question?" And he was raised Catholic, and he never went back to the Catholic Church. He said, "Can you ask me one question?" He said, "If there's only one God, why is there so many religions?" And that question sticks in my mind even today. Why? I believe it's divine providence that it sticks in my mind, because God set a journey on, because we went to, my dad never went to church as my father. My mom took us to churches, we went to the Jehovah's Witnesses. We went to the Episcopal Church, we went to the Pentecostal Church, we went to the Baptist Church, we went to all kinds of churches. And my dad could see right through them. Somehow he was able to see right through the fakeness of it. Forgive me if I've offended anyone by saying that, but what we have here is beautiful. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's a great blessing, and we should treasure it. I remember before me and my wife got married, I said, "Now if we get married, I just have this deep sense that one day the Lord is going to call me and I'm not going to be able to resist it." And I don't know where that comes from, but that day happened. I was coming up the road to 95 to work. We had just moved up here to Harford County for Baltimore City. And I had a dreaded sense that I was going to go to hell. Now, all that religious training, my background, my past, Jehovah's Witnesses, Episcopalianism, all that stuff had an impact. Because God was on my mind through all that time, but not with any sincerity or truth or more running than submitting. And I came home that Saturday night and I said, "Karen, we have to go to church." She said, "Where are we going to go?" And I said, "I have no idea. We're just going to get in the car tomorrow morning and drive." And we went to a missionary Baptist church over here in Dublin, where my father's going to be laid out, or wait for the Lord to resurrect his body. And we went over to that church building. We walked in the doors. We were welcomed, greeted by very kind and gracious people. And I thought, finally, this is a wonderful church. And we went there for a number of years. And in that course of time, I heard a man speak on the radio about election. And I said, "That can't be true." What did I know? But here I have an opinion. That can't be true. Like Peter saying, "Not so, Lord." But it took me about a year and a half to really settle in and realize that election is really true. and God did choose a people. And there's a great blessing in knowing that truth, because there's a certainty that you cannot fall out of his hand.
Right.
It's based on nothing you can do. You can't even believe the wrong doctrine and be lost. You can't do the wrong thing and be lost. Whoever is in Christ's hand is forever secure. He has perfected them forever. How long is forever? Forever. You can never fall out of his hand. You can lose blessings here in this life by not being obedient.
Right.
You can reap havoc in your life by not being obedient. But your eternal sonship, it's never lost.
Right.
So, in that process of studying that election on my own, having no one to talk to, because no one believed it, that I at my church, and finally I said, I got to set this idea down in words on paper, and I wrote it out and I gave it to my pastor, and he held it for about 2 weeks, and most of you already heard this story. And I finally went to him. I said, "What did you think of that paper?" And he said, "The best thing I've ever heard of an election, but I don't believe it." And so I realized at that point that we probably shouldn't attend there anymore, because I had been called all kind of names at that point. And so we began a journey of looking for a church to attend that believed in what I then believed was Tulip Calvinism. And I called church after church after church, and we visited a number of churches throughout that year. And they were either so structured in ceremonialism that there really wasn't any genuineness to it. My heart didn't rejoice when I went to visit those churches, OPC churches, that kind of thing. And some churches we visited, oh, you believe in the doctrine of election, but when you got inside the body, you realized there wasn't a sense of importance to that doctrine, that really it was more of a compromise just to get along with everyone, more of an ecumenical kind of thing. That was, to me, empty. And I remember finally, we were just not going to go to church one Sunday, and I was on my knees praying and asking God to please show me where his church was. Where his church was. And a word that a deacon had said to me at our missionary Baptist church said, "You sound like a hard shell Baptist or an old school Baptist." And I said, "Who are they?" He said, "Well, they don't believe in sharing the gospel with anybody." And I said, "Well, I don't want to be anything like them." But in desperation that day, I said, "Well, maybe I can find an old school Baptist church and find out what they're really about." So I opened the phone book again for probably the 100th time. And I didn't find old school Baptist. I found primitive. And I thought, well, does primitive mean old? And I called that phone number in the phone book. Unbeknownst to me, that's the first time the phone number was in the phone book. Thanks to Elder Bloyd. And I called the number, and in a very gentle voice answered the phone, Brother Horace Jackson, who was a deacon here. And I asked him every question I'd asked everyone else who previously I'd been called every name under the sun. Teaching devil's doctrine, heretic, a devil, that kind of thing. Brother Jackson was very gentle and gracious, and he said, "Oh yeah, we believe that. We believe that. Matter of fact, we're having dinner right now. Come on down." And I thought, no, I don't want to impose on him. But we did come back the next Sunday. And it was just me and my wife and my children. I forget how many children we had at the time. Maybe four or five. We have 10 now, by the way. We came to that next Sunday, and we never stopped coming. As a result of that, my dad and mom started coming. My dad had just passed away. My mom passed away about 8 years ago. And they actually got baptized here in this church before we did. And we followed soon after. As a result of that, now I've got to see 7 of my 10 children be baptized, my sister be baptized, my brother be baptized, and his wife be baptized. And that's all by walking by faith. And my dad's question was, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? The Apostle Paul addressed that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He was addressing a church that was in utter confusion. They had even denied the resurrection. We have churches teaching all kinds of things like, you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must hear the word and believe, or you'll end up in hell. What does that do to the atonement of Jesus Christ? Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. They're perfected forever. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. We're secure in the hands of Almighty God. Paul addressed these questions of these doctrines that wrest or twist or rob God's people of their eternal security, rob God's people of the truth, because a foundation of truth needs to be laid. And a foundation is something that's unmovable. People build homes on foundations because it's secure. It won't shift in the wind. It won't shift when the waters come. Foundations are very important. And our church, this church, is built on a foundation of truth, of Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus Christ do? When he died for his people, he perfected them forever. His blood cleanses our conscience from dead works so that we could serve the living God. So Paul, when he's addressing this question about foundations being laid, he starts in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. He's not talking about he's the one who laid Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that foundation. When he's talking about it, it's in teaching. He's laid the foundation in teaching to instruct your temporal understanding, your cognitive ability to understand. He's taught you that by the grace of God. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. When a man is taught about Jesus Christ, another man can come along and teach, well, yeah, Jesus Christ did die for his people, but you have to be baptized. What does that do to your security? That causes all kind of doubts. What about my mom and dad? They were sprinkled. My dad believed, but he never got baptized. Or my son, he's never been baptized. What does that do? Or you have other people who teach that if you believe, if you don't believe the doctrines of TULIP or the sovereign grace, and you're an Arminian type teacher, a believer, you're not a child of God. It's not true. What's happening is men lay on that foundation, which no other foundation be laid, that which is laid is Jesus Christ. And his finished work, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he came out of the tomb, he justified all of his people. He declared all of them righteous. Because his body came out of that tomb. Death no longer had a hold on him. That's the promise that God gave before the foundation of the world, even the eternal life. So other men lay on those foundations, teachings of understandings of what Christ did and who God is. That may be correct and may not be correct. And what Paul goes on to teach is, as you live your life and experience, you're trusting in the doctrines you've been taught is going to be tried by your trials and experiences. And when you are tried and you find what you've been taught is not true, it's going to leave you hopeless and in doubt. The truth saves you, not eternally, it saves you from fear. It saves you from doubt. It saves you from uncertainty. Truth is so valuable. Jesus Christ established a church, and he gave that church teachers, apostles, the doctrine to teach. Men have gone off on their own and started their own orders. And that's why we have confusion. Be thankful for what we have here, because now we are blessed as the Cook family, taking up most of the back row there. And when my dad passed, my first thought was not how sorrowful and how sad, but how wonderful. He's in the presence of Jesus Christ right now. And I really believe that. Is that a fallacy? Is that an imagination? No, it's faith. Think about the gift of faith. God has given us faith that when we read this word and we understand it, not logical fallacies, not things that are not true, that somehow mysticism has a tie two concepts together. This book makes sense because you've been given a rational mind designed by God. And it's designed to receive this truth by faith so that you can understand it. Rationality, the ability to process information, comes from faith, the gift of God. The two things work together in your mind to give you a rock-solid foundation in which to live your life on. Paul said he didn't want to preach the gospel to everyone. He said he wanted to preach the gospel to, didn't want to preach it to unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Rationality, the ability to process this word, In truth, trusting God comes from faith. Be thankful for it all. The church, the word, and for the gift of faith. Thank you.
Amen.